Good morning. It's a joy to be able to welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day morning. The wonderful rain that we had last night, it seems like, has added another beautiful coat of color to nature. And it's just a joy and an honor to be able to be here like we are this morning to worship our God. And we are very thankful that you're here today. We especially want to welcome those who are our guests this morning. It's an honor to have you with us, and we hope that as a result of your being here this morning, that you'll want to come back and worship with us anytime you have an opportunity. Of course, our college students are making their way back to us. The freshmen have been here for several days, and I know upperclassmen will probably be back in full force as early as tonight, and we are very much anticipating them being back with us. Tonight, Michael is going to be speaking to us, our college minister, and I want to issue a challenge to our college students. I want you to invite somebody, a new acquaintance, or somebody that hasn't been here before, or if they have, that's fine, to come and sit by you tonight. Tell them our college minister is speaking tonight. So ask somebody this afternoon to come and be a part of our service at 5 o'clock. We have a group that's gone today of about 15 up at the Southeast Evangelism Conference up in Gardendale, Alabama. Will is up there with our youth this weekend, several of them, and they should be making their way back early this afternoon. You know, we probably have all heard the expression, where there is life, there is hope. I want to spend some time today in our lesson talking about the word hope. Because to me, the word hope, and hope is such a biblical subject, where would we be without hope? Hope is the greatest expression known to man. It's the greatest motivator known to man. You think about soldiers who go into battle, and what is it that motivates them to where they can put their entire being into what they're doing? I submit to you that it's hope. Every battle that's ever been won has been won with this motivation. I've got hope. Every single day of the year, there are people that go in and have surgeries. They have operations, and it's perhaps a frightening thing realizing that under the anesthetic, you put yourself totally into the hands of somebody else. Why do people do that? What gives them the incentive to do that? It is hope. How many times have we seen a parent sit by the bed of a child, a sick child, day after day after day? What gives them the motivation to keep on keeping on? Well, it's hope. Now, with reference to Christianity, hope means so very much. Hope is the heartbeat of Christianity. And we as Christians are promised in the Bible that we have reason to hope. We have hope. Now, how important is hope? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 that Christians are saved by hope. Now, how about that? That is the way we get through this life, the way that we face the struggles of life and come out on the other side is because through Jesus, we have hope. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. But we may say, God, is the hope that you promised me in the Bible, is it valid? Is this hope real? The Bible says it's sure, but will it endure? Will it be here today and gone tomorrow? Will this hope last? The Bible says it's sure. The Bible says it's steadfast. That is the hope that we have. You see, nobody in the world has hope like we do as Christians. Nobody in the world has the validity backing up that hope like we do as Christians. Now, there are three elements to hope that lets us define what hope really is, because I believe that this is going to help us as we get into this lesson. How would you define hope? What are the characteristics of hope? Well, number one, it must have desire. You know, I may expect something to happen. I may go to the doctor tomorrow and he says, you know, you need a shot and it's going to have this long needle and it's going to really get you. I may expect something to happen. I may dread it, but that's not hope. Desire is an essential element of hope. Number two, there is expectation. I may desire something, but if there's no possibility of it happening, that's not hope. I might hope or wish that somebody would leave a sack of $1 million on my front porch this afternoon. But that's not a realistic possibility of happening. It's simply a wish, and hope is more than a wish. Hope is more than a desire. Hope is desire with expectation. Now, a third element in the mix that makes up hope is anticipation. I desire it. I expect it. I anticipate it. Now, the word hope comes from the root word, which very interestingly has to do with the opening of the eyes, and even more interesting perhaps, it's its relationship to the word gape. When you think about the word gape, you think about, you know, the mouth gaping open. But, you know, what in the world does that have to do with hope? Well, when I show you, you're going to understand. Think about the opening of the eyes. You know, when I was a child, and even when my children were small, and probably with your children today on Christmas morning, they always have to wait in the hallway for the signal. You know, pictures and videos have to be taken. Now, why in the world go to all that trouble for just a few pictures or videos? Well, it's because of the eyes. It's because we want to be able to remember the look in their eyes, the look of anticipation. Now remember, the word hope comes from the root word, which means opening the eyes. There's an eagerness there. There's an anticipation there that you see in the eyes of those children that you hardly ever see any other time. Or what about the gaping of the mouth? It's very simple. Picture, if you will, a bird's nest and the little baby birds there in that nest, and directly those little babies feel the wind of the flapping of their mother's wings. They feel the weight of her body as she comes and lights on that nest. What's that little baby bird going to do? He's going to open wide his mouth. Whether he sees the worm or not, he's going to open up that mouth. Why? Because he has the hope that mother's going to drop some food down there. Now, what is that? That's desire with expectation, with anticipation, and that is hope. Now, what I want to do this morning in the course of our lesson is to go to the New Testament, and I want to talk about three passages in which Paul talks about hope. And hopefully we can glean some important truths from these passages. And I want to emphasize the importance of Christian hope this morning for two reasons. In the first place, if you're not a Christian here today, I want you to desperately want this hope. I want you today to desire this hope. And realize that outside of Christ, you cannot have it, so that you will desire to be in Christ. In the second place, for many of us today who are Christians, I want to further substantiate. I want to add more anticipation and confidence to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It is a valid hope. Heaven is a real place. And we are really going to this place called heaven. That is Christian hope. Number one this morning, the greatest expression of hope, and it's found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. I know it's the greatest expression that Paul ever made, and I reckon it could be the greatest expression of hope found in the entire Bible. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Now, why is this the greatest expression of hope? We see it transcends everything that man has ever come up with around which to make hope. You know, you think about our hope. You think about the hope that lives to tomorrow, or the hope that lives to next week or next year or 20 years from now. The man who has Christ, like Paul said, "For me to live is Christ or to die is gain," has a hope that transcends everything. Anything that man's ever been able to come up with. It's a lot bigger than that. Man's hope never gets close to that idea. Now, man says today that death is the ultimate tragedy. But the Lord says, "I'm going to give you heaven if you're one of mine." And so Paul says with great confidence, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." It's the greatest expression of hope because it's based upon the reality that God tells the truth. It's the greatest expression of hope because of what it does to a person's life. When a person comes to the place where they're willing to make this statement, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain," and I think everyone who's a Christian ought to be able to make this statement. You ought to be able to mean that statement. Does it mean we relish the idea of dying? Of course not. But if Christianity doesn't produce hope, then what good is it for? But you see, when a person comes to the point where they can say, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain," that individual has expressed true faith in God. I submit to you this morning that an individual who, by studying the Bible, can come to the place where he can truthfully express, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain," that individual is not expressing something that's insensitive. Because you see, in their life, they're going to be the best husband, the best wife they can be, because it's tied to their hope. They're going to be the best father, the best mother they can be, because it's tied to their hope. They're going to be the best employee or employer they can be, because it's tied to their hope. As a young person, I'm going to be the best student, the best example I can be before others, because it's tied to my hope. I want more friends who can say like Paul, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul believed it. Paul taught it. If you look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse 3 says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. In other words, if you've been baptized into Christ, you set your affections on things above. What are you talking about, Paul? He's talking about hope. He's talking about the hope that Christians have. And Paul believed it. Paul lived it. That's why Paul could say in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, do you believe that? Have you got that kind of hope? Are you willing to express that kind of hope? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, but not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. You know, the greatest expression of hope out of any man or woman is not the hope that we'll live another 20 years, or the hope that we'll prosper financially, or, you know, I hope that my job works out well and I get that promotion, or, you know, I hope my children can accomplish this and accomplish that. You know, all these things may have a place and be somewhat valid, but they're not the greatest expression of hope. The greatest expression of hope known to mankind was made by the Apostle Paul when he said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Number two, go with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's talk about the greatest basis for our hope. Now, this is extremely important. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 14, Paul said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us by Jesus and shall present us with you. You know, the basis of the hope that we have as Christians, the hope of heaven, the basis of our hope today is Jesus. We believe and we know without any reservation whatsoever that God raised Jesus from the dead. And based upon that, we know that God will fulfill every promise he's ever made in the New Testament. And we know that God has the ability and he will raise us from the dead. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul is addressing some issues about death and about some in the church who were faithful to God who had already died. And Paul said there, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those who have died, that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. Now, what is the basis of our hope. What is the basis of the hope that a person could leave this life and have the next life to look forward to? The basis of that hope is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, if the only place that our hope is valid is in this life, if it really and truly does not extend into the next life, Paul says we are a pathetic people. Now, what's the point that Paul's making? Well, in the context here, Paul is arguing with folks who are saying, you know, there's no resurrection from the dead. There's no life after this life. And Paul says, folks, if you buy into this idea, you're implying that Jesus was not raised from the dead. And if that's true, then this hope that you have, this hope is only for right now. It will not see you into eternity. And people who live their lives based on false hope are truly in a pathetic condition. You see, if my hope is based on that which is opposed to what the Word of God says, then my hope is invalid. But what about the hope that we have? What about the hope that Christians have? What about the hope that people who are living for God have? Look at Psalms 146 and verse 5. The Bible says, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Why is he happy? Why is the one who follows God happy and confident? It's because his hope is validated. His hope is built on something that is going to last. In Romans 15 and verse 13, Paul says, we have abounding hope with the God of hope. Colossians 1 and verse 5 says, to lay hold on the hope, the heavenly hope. You see, this hope is different. This hope in Christ is not just desire, but it's desire with expectation. It is desire with anticipation because of what it's built on. It's built on the truth of God. Now, I want you to notice this morning, Colossians chapter 1, in verse 5, which says we have the hope of heaven. But then notice verse 23 of this same chapter kind of defines it this way when it says the hope of the gospel. You see, that kind of ropes it in. That kind of narrows it down. It gives us something that we can hold on to. Where is real hope? Real hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel includes promises to anticipate. The gospel includes facts to believe. It includes commands to be obeyed. It's the gospel of Christ. It's how we're saved. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And so the basis of our hope is in Christ. You see, as Christians, we are full of hope when situations sometimes seem hopeless, because then we're compelled to draw upon the resources of our Christian faith. Our hope is based upon Christ. Our hope is based upon the promises that are found in His Word. Number three, though, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, and we find the greatest down payment giving certainty to our hope. Certainty So very important. Just how certain is your hope? You know, when you think about going to heaven, when you think about being a Christian and going to heaven one day, how strong is your hope? When does your hope really become the strongest? Well, let me share with you what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 1. Paul says, "For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle, this physical body, were dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." You see, that is hope. Now, verse 5 says, "Now he who has prepared us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Now, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. I love that phrase, the earnest of the Spirit. And there are a variety of applications that could be made in regard to how we have a down payment from heaven. And I think we need to understand the importance of this word earnest. You know, if you're purchasing a house and you make an agreement from the ones that you're buying it from, you're going to buy this house for this particular price, you know, before the papers are drawn up, you want them to take that for sale sign out of the yard, don't you? You want them to know that nobody else, you know, is going to buy this house. You take that for sale sign down, and what those people want is some money. They want a down payment saying that you're serious about this, and it's called earnest money. It means that you are earnest about this commitment that you've made to purchase this house or this piece of property. Now, if you put that money down, whatever the amount may be, and later you renege on that deal, they get to keep that money. That's what the money is all about. The money is a down payment to say, this is valid, this is real, this is going to happen. But think about this, though. I'm a Christian. I have the hope of heaven. How strong can my hope really be? And based on what will my hope be? I submit to you this morning that we have the earnest of the Spirit. I really like to tie that in to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, where the writer there makes reference to people who have tasted of the heavenly gift. What does it mean to say that we have tasted of the heavenly gift? Well, I suggest to you that it's the same thing as having the earnest of the Spirit, a down payment, if you will, toward heaven. Think about this for just a minute. At what point is your faith really the strongest? At what point is your hope in heaven, as a Christian, the most real for you? At what point is your hope the strongest for you? You know, when we sing together like we've been doing today, and in doing so, we really build one another up, I suggest to you that we have a taste of heaven, because we're going to sing in heaven. And as we sing with people who love God of like faith, I believe it is a foretaste of rapture to come. When each can feel his brother's sigh, and sorrow flows from eye to eye, and joy from heart to heart, when we can enjoy the warmth and the love and the family atmosphere that I believe we have here in this church, when we have the closeness that binds us together as Christians, I suggest to you that we have a taste of heaven. You see, I want to be with these kinds of people throughout all eternity. That's why I'm looking forward to being in heaven. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the down payment, if you please, when we see the blessings of God and the providence of God in our lives as God abundantly and graciously blesses us. You see, the word is hope. And Christian hope is not blind. It's not hope simply based upon desire. It's a lot bigger than desire because it's expectation with anticipation. It's hope because of the promises of God that if we're faithful, one day He's going to take us home to live with Him forever in heaven. Jesus told us, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." And it's a real place. And Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What do you call that, Lord? What is that? Hope. It's called hope. I ask you this morning, do you have that hope today? If today you were to die, which would it be for you? Would it be heaven or would it be hell? Do you today have Christian hope based not simply on the fact that you desire to go to heaven, but do you have that hope based upon the truth of Jesus Christ? Somebody says today, "Well, you know, how can I have this hope? How can this hope be mine?" Well, I need to believe in God in all my heart. I need to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, that God did send Him to die for me, and that He arose from the dead, that He's my Savior. And that based upon the fact that He rose from the dead, I too will one day come forth from the grave. And in that faith, I need to be willing to give my life to the Lord. I need to repent of my sins. I need to turn away from those things that are contrary to God's will. And I need to be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And then I need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. It's in that act of baptism that one can touch the precious blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. Could be that maybe you've turned your back on that hope. Maybe you've lost that hope, and maybe you need to renew that relationship you have and desire to have with God. I hope this hope that we've talked about is truly yours today. If you need to respond to heaven's call, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.